This year, there's a surge of women running for office. And within that, we're also seeing a high number of Black women running for federal office. 41 Black women are running for the House, 35 of whom are Democrats. That's the most in recent years, according to the Center for American Women in Politics at Rutgers University. These women are trying to close a big representation gap, but that heightened visibility comes with a different set of challenges. In late August, Kaya Morris, the only Black woman in Vermont's legislature, dropped out of her reelection race because of racist online threats and harassment. Black women also face extra hurdles when campaigning, like gathering funding and national endorsements. Kimberly Peeler Allen is here to talk about these issues, and she's the co-founder of Higher Heights for America, an organization working to elect Black women for public office. Kimberly, thanks for joining us.
It is a pleasure to be here.
What an interesting topic this is. Let's talk a little bit about motivation, right? We're hearing this is the year of the woman and everybody wants to run for office, but what is particularly driving women of color, more specifically Black women, to run for office?
Well, I think it is this confluence of events that we find ourselves in. Black women have been running and doing the work behind the scenes for generations. You know, thinking back to like Fannie Lou Hamer and Barbara Jordan, Black women have been in the trenches. And now there is this new sense of urgency. We're seeing the attempts and in many cases the actual reality of the rollbacks of the last 50 years of progress. And we're seeing that Black women are saying, I can't let this happen to my community. So I'm going to step up and run. And it is that combined with the electorate realizing that over 80% of our elected officials across this country are white and male. And that is, by no means represents the diversity in this nation. The electorate is saying, we need to have some different voices around the table. And these Black women are speaking to my issues, regardless of, the fact that they're Black, they can appeal to everybody. And it has really been a great catalyst for all of these women to run such strong primaries. And, we're really looking forward to some great pickups on November 6th.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because there are some challenges specifically, and we know politics is like any other industry, right? There are challenges, as we mentioned, to funding and getting support here. Yesterday in the show, we talked about how important Black women are to the Democratic Party. They've been called the backbone of the Democratic Party. 90-some-odd% of Black women voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016, and yet they still lack in representation in the party's leadership. One of the guests that we had raised this notion of viability of Black women candidates. And I'm wondering if you think Black women candidates are thought of by the Democratic Party as less viable because of who they are, because they can't raise the money, because they won't give them the support. What is that about?
I think that's exactly it. Higher Heights was born out of the notion that we needed a space for Black women, a political home for Black women. And Glenda Carr and I, we knew from our experience that the factors that make a Black woman a viable candidate are not necessarily the same as our white counterparts. And we know that by mobilizing our networks, because that is what we do just, to make life happen for so many of us, and the volunteer effort and the word of mouth, and then also bringing our authentic selves to the campaign trail has really been a great factor in these successes. So we've always looked at candidates who walk in the spirit of Shirley Chisholm, unbought and unbossed. We look at what kind of volunteer structure they have. We look at, do they have enough money to reach their constituents? We don't need, the hundreds of millions of dollars that so many of these races cost, but do you have the baseline of what it's going to take for you to reach your target voters? And do you have a solid campaign plan? And, are you in line with issues that we believe will make sure that Black women, their communities, and their families thrive?
We should also note that 19 of the Black women who are running for the House are challenging incumbents here. Now, that could work to their favor or not, depending on what we talked about, which is funding. How often is the ability to raise money part of the viability of a candidate, right? Because you mentioned you don't need hundreds and millions of dollars. But are there specific barriers to fundraising that Black women candidates face in particular?
Yeah, well, I think there is, just unfortunately, the institutional wealth. We haven't been here that long. We've had challenges to our communities that have not allowed us to amass the type of wealth that some of our counterparts have. The fact that Black women are making 63 cents on the dollar just, you know, from the jump. You know, we need our whole dollar if we're going to be competitive. But I think it is also thinking through, it's not just the large checks, but being able to mobilize our networks for those, you know, monthly $5 contributions that add up over time, and see those contributions as a strength, because they're not just dollars, but they're also voters and most likely volunteers.
And it's also a question of actually getting people to the polls. I mean, you can spend all the money you want. I think we saw that here in New York with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who no one thought, you know, this person was going to win, and then she wins, right? Mm-hmm. People showed up at the polls. How important is that for Black women candidates?
Absolutely. It is that is the deciding factor. We have to show up and show out at the polls to make sure that our voices are heard, make sure that we have voices around the decision-making tables that reflect our priorities.
And there's a lot of races this, and just in the midterms, we'll be watching Stacey Abrams and a bunch of other folks. Kimberly Peeler Allen is the co-founder of Higher Heights for America. Kimberly, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.